Hey, Otis, hey, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Oh, my pleasure.
So everyone, our listeners know, we're talking to Otis Williams, the last surviving member of the Temptations, because you'll be participating in the virtual Capital Fourth celebration this year. Now, this is I know you've done plenty of events like this in the past, but this is a little different this year because of coronavirus. How exactly did that work? Did you perform remotely at your house, or how'd you do it?
No, we did it at the studio here in Burbank, and it was kind of different, you know, because we're used to singing and performing in front of an audience, but, you know, you have to do what you have to do under the circumstances that we're under. So we pulled it off, but it was kind of different. But, you know, show business is very flexible, and you have to be able to do that at times, and we were able to rise to the occasion.
So how many of you guys were there in the room there?
Well, aside from the temps, then, you know, you had the technicians and the camera people and what have you. So it was closely guarded personnel. You know, it wasn't for a whole lot of people, but the makeup artist and the guy, the director, and, you know, the general norm of things as far as when you do a TV show.
Right. Yeah. I mean, as socially distanced as possible, but you got to have the performers in there. So, well, that's cool that you did that. What can you give us a little teaser of what you guys performed? What will be seen?
Sure, sure. Well, we did like a 3-song medley. We did Get Ready, and out of Get Ready, we went into Ain't Too Proud, and then from Ain't Too Proud, we closed out with My Girl. You know, so it was a tight 6-minute. Plus medley.
That's great. And that's going to, yeah, everyone of all ages is going to be tapping their feet to that when that comes on their TV sets on PBS. Dish on the Host a little this year. How exciting is it that you got John Stamos and Vanessa Williams coming back?
Well, you know, it's a great pleasure to be in such elite company like Yolanda Adams and John Stamos and Tracy Atkins, Patti LaBelle, John Fogerty. Yeah, so it's great to be aligned with such wonderful, talented people that have made their mark in the show business.
And I assume they're all just recording remotely from their respective places around the country, too?
Yeah, that's the times we're living in now. You know, the one thing that's constant in life is change, and being able to adapt to change is a wonderful thing.
That's great. Now, I think I saw that in addition to these newly recorded performances, they're also going to show highlights from previous years. Do you have any fond memories of performing previous years?
You know, when we have been around, you know, you've been around like we have for 60 years, there are a lot of wonderful memories that I, you know, think back on. And I've had such an illustrious career that the many times that we were on Ed Sullivan, the time that we got our star in Hollywood, I mean, the list is endless. I walk around in my house and look at all the accolades that I have achieved, that I am just as amazed as a fan that didn't know, you know. So I've had a wonderful career being part of the legendary Motown Records, you know, and making history and to a certain extent changing history music-wise and even as far as everyday life is concerned, you know. So I, you know, I'm just as amazed at what the Temptations have been able to achieve and bridge gaps, you know. I never will forget we were over in world tour in 75, and I ran across three soldiers when the Vietnam War had just ended, and they were telling me what Motown's music meant to them, and as they were telling me this, they were standing there crying, you know, which brought me to tears to let me know that music is such an impactful force that we were able to even touch our soldiers as having their lives on the line. But they would come back to the camp, and the first thing they would ask, we want to hear the Temptations. We want to hear Motown, you know. So to be a part of something that glorious is wonderful.
That's awesome. Can you remind our listeners how you guys actually all got together there? You mean, you mentioned Motown, but, you know, how you met Barry Gordy and, you know, David Ruffin and how that whole thing came together.
Wow. Well, I'll try and convince you because it's a long
I know.
It came about. Yeah, but well, to start off with, how I met Mr. Gordy was my group at the time was Otis Williams and The Distance, and we had a little regional hit called Come On, and so Mr. Gordy came in to St. Stephen's Community Center with Smokey and the Miracles, and after the crowd finally let us come off the stage, Mr. Gordy, I'm standing there watching the Miracles. I'm saying, "Right, that's Smokey and the Miracles," and when I had them standing there, Mr. Gordy said, I like your group, the record that you have. If you should leave where you are, come see me. I'm starting my label. And that was 1960-61. And as fate would have it, we left the label that we were with, and I called Mr. Gordy, and I told him we were available, and he asked me to call Mickey Stevens, who was in charge of A&R. And at the time, the lineup consisted of Eddie Kendricks, Paul Williams, Al Bryant, Melvin Franklin, myself. So this was pre-David Ruffin. And then 4 years later, David Ruffin joined the group, and we were off and running.
I mean, what a run you guys had, too. And talk about how you guys – I mean, you guys were able to keep evolving over the years. So, you know, you had David Ruffin there in the beginning, but then talk about how you were able to then transition, you know, into the 70s with Dennis Edwards joining and, you know, evolve for a new era.
Well, Dennis joined the group in 1968, and at the time that was when psychedelic soul was starting to become, you know, very famous and popular. And the 10th floor, we were in New York City, and at the time I was talking to my good friend Kenny Gamble of Gamble and Huff. And as him and I were talking, we heard Sly and the Family Stone with a different sound and approach. And we were impressed with that. So as the 10th flew back to Detroit, and Norman Whitfield, who was our producer at the time, I said, Norman, there's a new sound that's coming about. Maybe we should try that. And so Norman went into the studio and recorded Cloud Nine, and that was, like I said, 1968. And then Cloud Nine, you know, was a slow start because our fans had gotten so used to hearing us do to My Girl Since I Lost My Babies and what have you. But Cloud Nine, you know, kicked off, and next thing you know, it sold over 1 million copies, and we were the first act for Motown to win a Grammy. So that's how that came about.
That's great. And you mentioned a few seconds ago about how your music helped, you know, bring people together, the troops and everything. And even back home, people of all different colors and creeds, you know, could rally around the fact that they loved the Temptations in Motown. Talk about, in light of, you know, today with, you know, there's been the Black Lives Matter protests and so many divisions and stuff. But talk about how with Ball of Confusion and, you know, it's that ball keeps rolling on. But you guys were talking about it even back then.
Yeah, well, music can be such a great ornament, you know, to the soul and for the soul, you know. That's the wonderful thing about music. It can bring people together. We can escape when we are in some kind of turmoil or what have you. Music is a soul-satisfying medicine, and I'm so glad that we have been able to administer that through the efforts of music, you know, and it's a powerful force, you know. And I often wonder, boy, what would this world be like without music, because I've seen it bridge gaps. I've seen it bring people together. I've seen it bring people, move people to tears and what have you. So it's got a lot of wonderful attributes to it, and it's a powerful force. It should never be taken for granted, you know. So I am so thankful and blessed that I am part of something that has become so renowned worldwide, not just here in America, but we've gone to different parts of the country, and we've seen them, you know, rejoice. And we went behind shortly after the Iron Curtain came out, we were in Gdansk, Poland. And as we were singing, My Girl and Papa Was a Rolling Stone, and here we had a country that spoke a whole other language, but they were singing our songs in English, you know, and I was amazed at that. So it's just wonderful to be part of something that is so strong and caring.
Yep, and just sort of just bringing it back full circle to Capital Fourth, you know, it's that same vibe, you know. Are you're hoping that a show like, you know, a big, you know, nationally televised concert like Capital Fourth, they're still doing the fireworks, you know, in person. If people are quarantined looking up at the sky, they can still see it. But I'll talk about how you hope the show can bring people together at a tough time. I feel like we've had a double whammy with, you know, there's the racial unrest for sure with George Floyd, but then we have coronavirus, so it's like a double gut punch. People are dealing, and then the economy, too. People are dealing with a lot. We got a divisive election coming up. Why is this a moment for people to set back and come together for the Independence Day?
Well, you know, it's like a heck of a combination punch by a heavyweight boxer. And, you know, we need to really try and stay focused. We know what we got to do as a country, you know, because we're going through a big turmoil of things that's happening to this country of ours. But I hope that through the efforts of what we do can be like a soothing ointment to a troubled soul, you know. And, yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate that we're going through this, but I'm a believer that we will come through it. We just got to galvanize as a people and as a country and to get through it. And, you know, in life you're going to be tested, and I think this is one of the tests to see how great we are as a nation to really come out of this. And I'm staying optimistically, you know, hopeful that we will get through it. And I'm just glad that through what the Temps are known for, Fires Music, and for what we do, we can add another, you know, big plus to our troubled soul and let us get through this and enjoy ourselves as much as we can when we can.
Awesome. Well, that's the perfect place to leave it. Hey, thanks so much, Otis. We look forward to seeing you in the Temps remotely performing. I assume you'll still have your, you know, those iconic suits and the same Motown moves and everything from your remote studio.
Yeah, we will still be bouncing and jumping around almost 60 years later. So, yeah, that will be a great thing to be a part of this coming Saturday, July the 4th, the Capitol 4th. So I hope everybody tune in and check us out.
All right. Otis Williams of The Temptations. Thank you much, sir.
Thank you.